but I've seen Henry Rollins backstage before doing a spoken word show. He's doing sit-ups. Jumping jack.
This is the
stage. Go ahead.
It is. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. Prairieist. We alter your synapses
studios
with Reju.
He's buffering.
Rejuvenating. Breeze. Cray Tom. This does something. But we're covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This covers reuse by anybody except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. How are you doing? Is it working? Can you feel it? Michael W. Dean and Phil.
Special. It's special. It's very special.
It is special.
I like it. Yeah. Is that a vocal fry?
That was a little vocal fry, but it also kind of sounded like you were doing the midway point between Lusander Fien and Bill Clinton. But that's okay.
Do that. Imitate that. Let me hear what that sounds like.
I did not have sexual relations with that bacon. I don't know exactly how it would sound.
Except we know that's not true.
All right. Ignore any echoes you hear.
So it works.
Yeah.
Well, I was threatening to dox Lou the other day, and I told him I was going to release the name of his bacon distributor because he had said America Akbar in response to local events.
Oh, I thought you meant because he actually buys meat at Muslim bakeries or at meat shops because he lives next to Dearborn, Michigan. He used to. He doesn't live there anymore. What am I saying?
He lives way upstate.
Yeah, upstate. He lives in northern Michigan, also known as southern Canada, far southern Canada.
So he moved from Barataria to Bear Saskatchewan.
Yeah, Barataria.
Also, I'm not exactly an expert on the topic, but I'm pretty sure that the Muslim butchers don't carry bacon, at least not pork bacon.
Yeah, I get it all mixed up. I get all the religions mixed up.
I don't know. I'm sure you can make bacon from lamb. If you can make it bacon from turkey, you can make it from lamb.
Yeah, but it's not really the same thing. It's got to be pigs, I think, to be really true.
It's pork
true
belly.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Pork bellies. Pork bellies
that's,
are rough.
That's what people generally mean when they say bacon.
Uh-huh.
And they're pretty disappointed if you give them something else. You know, that's the thing. When you tell people you're giving them libertarianism, they're expecting the Freedom Fiends or better. They're not expecting Chris Cantwell or, you know, Gary Johnson, something weak. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Trump is the tofurkey of libertarianism. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's your show title as well.
Hey, I got a I'm hoarse. I've had workmen in my house for 4 days. For some reason, that made me hoarse. It was basically because they were like rewiring our house, and they had to get here at like 6 a.m. because he was up in the attic, and you know by like noon it was too hot to be up there. So we're getting woken up every day at 6 for like 4 days. So I'm beat, and my throat's frying and sexy and wonderful and normal. And
you could probably do that without permits in Wyoming, can't you?
Actually, you do not need to be licensed to be an electrician in Wyoming.
These people are pretty good. Wow.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Well,
yeah, our electricians are a mob in Philadelphia. The head just got busted.
I'll bet. You know, I've never heard of a house, you know, burning down in Wyoming from, you know, like last 10 years wiring. There's a bunch of people.
To be fair, there's seven houses.
Mm-hmm. There's seven houses and four electricians here, so it works out pretty well.
Yeah, government house to electrician ratio.
Government's bad.
That's like a Virginia.
Taxation is theft.
When I moved to Virginia, I was really surprised that they have this annual inspection thing for cars. So every year you have to get your car inspected in Virginia. It's not like that in Florida. Well, lo and behold, you see way more rust buckets driving around with their bumpers falling off in Virginia than you do in Florida.
Yeah. Part of it's the weather, too. The salt in the roads. Without the government, who would salt the roads and rust out your car? But
The best corrupt jobs to get is doing inspections, because people in Kensington do that all the time. You take your place to a little shop, you need stickers on your car, it's the bumper's falling off, you've got a bad audio, a hate crime sticker on the back, but by golly, you've got $50 in cash. You can get yourself
I have two stories about inspections and why they're ridiculous. So they don't have them in this state, in Wyoming, but in California, where actually my friend lived there for like 15 years printing his own stickers on Photoshop, color printing the registration sticker that goes on the license. He just made those, and he also sold them to friends and just got away with it for years. But I bought a car for $250 that ran. I forget what it was. It was a tiny little thing. And the steering wheel, basically the car had been stolen, and like, you know, they broke into the steering column to start it and screwed it up. They didn't do it right. And my friend actually got his car back somehow. I think he like bought it back at a police auction for $100 or something and drove it for 5 years and kept fixing it up and sold it to me. So the steering wheel in this car could move 3 inches in each direction. Like, it looked like a video game joystick. You know, you could like move it down, you could move it up, you could move it over, and you had to move it like 3 inches before it would grab and you could steer with it. That's incredibly dangerous, but the thing passed inspection because there's nothing on the inspection that says that. So,
well, that is normal. I mean, I'm in an airplane, but you know, still.
Yeah, it's like an airplane. Yeah. And then Nima Vedati, who started the Freedom Fiends with me, used to have, well, when he lived in Texas, so he failed inspection once because he had removed, I guess like you'd call them, the little plastic skirts on the bottom of the seat belts, you know, the thing that kind of covered at the bottom that it goes into. He removed that because there was something about his car's design that was badly designed, and they jammed with those on as designed. But when he just broke them off, it worked fine. That's actually a thing in Texas that you have to have those. There's no reason at all for safety that you should have those, but he failed inspection and he had to go like to a junkyard and spend an hour or two finding those and pay like $70 and then, you know, have somebody put them on because he didn't have the wrench, the proprietary wrench that it took to do it. So government's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, the Texas government must have been lobbied by the plastic cover making union in plastic seatbelt cover making union
in Texas. Probably it's probably right. They're probably made in Texas, made in America, protecting jobs. So yeah, anytime that you have government, you know, demands to protect a job like that, these are just small examples, but it always just works out for the worst. It works out worse. You know, I was thinking the other day, so they're trying to, like, governments around the world are trying to start to crack down on cryptocurrencies. I have a theory that if they figure out ways to like track the use of them online, what might happen is people who've never ever used drugs might start holding large quantities of drugs to act as like a physical representation to do business with. You know, like they'd go out and buy, because I heard that you can store MDMA for like 10,000 years or something if it's stored properly. You know, they'd go out and buy like some huge amount of drugs, store it, and then use that to buy things with. I think, and that's what government does. Like, because of the war on drugs, you know, heroin and cocaine are more powerful, more pure, stronger, and cheaper than they've ever been, because it, you know, since it's very illegal, it behooves them to make it smaller and more transportable. It behooves them to make it easier to, you know, get more into a car and to make it in industrial scales. And you can't win, man. When you try the government, what's the saying? If the government tried to like subsidize sand in the Sahara Desert, they'd be out of sand in a month. I think you kind of said that in the show the other day, but yeah, Phil.
Yeah. Well, and now they're trying to illegalize money, and it's going to be, you know, stronger and more powerful and more pure than it's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice being back on the Fiends. It's been so long since I started off having a conversation that started with where you've been and ended with heroin is better than the government.
I don't think I said that, but
I know.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But, you know, government does the opposite of whatever it's trying to do.
Well, there's uses for heroin.
It harms people. Yeah.
Well, even if you are
chronic pain.
Yeah. Even if you're the type of person who's very like, there's no good use of heroin. It is absolute bad. There's nothing good about it. It's still better than government, realistically.
And there are actually uses for it. It's used in England medically for people in excruciating pain, because there is pain generally from certain types of cancers, like bone cancer, for instance, where morphine will not kill the pain. You need something stronger. So,
yeah. Yep. Well, it used to be here.
Yep. I know. Used to be able to buy it over the counter. Speed, too. Marijuana, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those were the days.
So, that's our rant. I got some good news. After all this bad news, after talking about how horrible government is, and I don't do drugs, I don't do heroin, I don't want to live, you know, around people doing a lot of drugs, but there'd be solutions for that in a true free market. First of all, it'd be a lot cheaper to buy a house. We have a guy on the show who's an architect who says that, you know, houses would cost less than a quarter of what they cost now in a free market. So it'd be a lot easier for you to move if you didn't like your neighbors. We have something cool coming up. So there's a, if you guys know about the Free Talk Live has a digest, this guy named Riley Blake, edits basically a best of every show of Free Talk Live. So it's not all the rambling, it's not all the ranting, it's not the commercials, it's not the intros and outros. It's just like the best talking, you know, he takes like a 3-hour show and I think he makes like a 30 or 40 minute show of it. He's going to do that with the Freedom Fiends starting today. So tomorrow there's going to be a new website up. I think I'm not going to promote it until the first one goes up, but there's going to be 20-minute versions of every Freedom Fiends. So for all those people who always tell me, you know, we have new people listening all the time, but for all the people who always say, I love the Fiends, man, but I have so much to do, and you put out so many shows, I can't keep up. Now you'll be able to keep up. So there. Thank you, Riley.
Also, pro tip, and this is just an alternative. If you are on an iPhone, you always have the option of listening to the Freedom Fiends at 1.5 right? speeds. Yeah. And the intro and outro music always sound awesome.
Wow. So I think Phil can probably do maths better than any of us, even though Steve was a teacher, and we're going to get to that. How long would a 20-minute episode be at 1.5 speed?
At 1.5 speed?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to do, let's see, 20 over 1.5.
Yeah.
I'll tell you after the break.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to The Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Minutes. That's how much it was. That's how long it was.
How many minutes?
13.
All right, so you'll be able to listen to the 20-minute digest by Riley Blake in 13 minutes. If you don't have time, if you don't have 13 minutes for the Freedom Fiends, you, sir, are stealing. No, wait. You should donate to the Freedom Fiends or you're stealing. Oh, wait, that's not voluntary. Hey, if you guys like these things that Riley makes, he's going to do one for every show. It's going to be a lot of work. Send him some money. There's a on the website I'm making. Okay, I'll give out the feed because I'm pretty sure there's going to be one up tomorrow. It's digest.freedomfiends.com. That's digest.freedomfiends.com. And Riley's really smart. He's a great guy. Website's really simple looking because it doesn't have to do much other than, you know, offer an RSS feed. There are not going to be show notes. It's just going to be every post is going to be the date. You know, it's going to be like May 8th, 2017, Freedom Fiends Digest. That's going to be the title. And then it's going to have an embedded MP3, and there's going to be an RSS feed. And Riley's blind, which is interesting. It's interesting that he's blind, but that he can do this. You know, there's software that's that works around that, but it wasn't able to work on WordPress, so we had to do some workarounds. And I made the site really simple because he's going to be using it, and it also doesn't really have to be able to do much. So, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy. There's two images on it. They both have alt tags. You know, it's just easy to use. It's going to be fun. So check it out, digest.freedomfiends.com. And I'll start pimping it more when there's one actually up there. So speaking of numbers and maths, Steve was a teacher. So, Steve, show me on the doll where the state touched you when you were a teacher. Steve?
I think he's still gone.
Yeah? Huh. Well, tell me where the state touched him when he was a teacher.
Is this the...
He's gonna come back.
Yeah. Is this the ghetto gun story?
Maybe. So let's wait until he comes back. I got something. I can't remember if I said this the other day, but if I didn't say this...
Fiend phone.
There he Hello. Is. You there? Hey, Miller. Hey. All right. So tell us about
Someone
when you were a teacher.
Someone got droned when they were peeing.
Yeah.
Indeed, I was pee droned. So I taught in the Philadelphia public schools, and I stopped after a parent pulled a gun on me. No big deal. It was awful, and there was also a sexual assault of a student by another student in a stairwell, 300 feet from my door. The principal, for his part, implied that me not turning my lesson plans in on time was the cause of the rape in the stairwell, because in his words, when one thing goes wrong at a school, everything goes wrong at a school.
So it's the broken zippers fallacy.
The broken zippers fallacy, correct. And that by me turning my lesson plans in late, I had put some sort of hex on the school that resulted in this child being brutally attacked and us being on the news and him looking bad. Gosh darn it, Mr. Miller, because I was mono Millered back then. I only had one Miller. It was overall a terrible experience, and I was so glad when I left. And the curse of quitting teaching is that people constantly tell you what a fool you are to have quit teaching, even after you explain why it was an awful experience. So I'll be like, yeah, a parent pulled a gun on me. And they'll be like, wow, but that insurance, why would you ever leave that? I'm like, no, you don't understand. It was awful. I hated myself. I woke up every day wanting to die.
You wouldn't
dental have am I right
anything. Right yeah your medical bills would have been low
yeah my medical bills would have been low for the foreseeable future, and you know, I wouldn't have had to worry about students anymore. It would have been great. You know who else has a great healthcare plan is a prison. Prison's got a great plan, and it's the same people that administer it. So, and people also think that just because you have great benefits on paper, one, means they're always going to be there. Pensions are getting cut. You know, a lot of them are in really big financial trouble. These cities make all these promises.
Politicians promise away the future over and over and over. And I've actually heard this is like a reason why people should have kings instead, because kings have some, you know, they want to pass the ownership of these people onto their children, whereas politicians come in for 4 years, promise away 100 years of, you know, extraordinary money that won't be there, and then they're gone. So I'm
not
saying
there's an argument against the
kings, but
yeah, I actually have an argument against the monarchy thing, but it'll be best after the break.
Yes.
But first, the king commands these commercials.
Yes.
Worms.
His loyal purse.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it!
doing the show with Fiend Phone without a mixer, just using the mixer on Fiend Phone on screen, without a physical mixer. It's like I'm more connected to you guys. I'm not using a condom. I like it.
I don't know how I feel about that, Michael.
You're going to get us kicked off a station.
I know.
And I'm going to get blamed, but it's fine.
I know. Well, you got us kicked off one. It's time for me to get kicked off. No, I don't know. I got us kicked off once before you'd heard of the Fiends, I think. One's in Minot, North Dakota.
You're the hipster of getting thrown off of stations.
I was doing it before you'd heard of this.
Yeah, but it's okay because we got Belle Fouche, and frankly, I think that's a step up.
I know. That's a step up from those hopped up speed freak, you know, high school dropouts making six figures, getting horribly disfigured in the oil fields, and then having to sue to get their workman's comp. Mm-hmm. I mean, they probably needed the Fiends too, but you know, they're all gone from there. They're all back on unemployment in their home states, because that kind of, you know, because when you put your whole local economy on one thing, like Wyoming has done largely too, you know, when the Arabs decide to just change the price of oil, everyone's out of work. So there you go, man. Don't put all your greasy eggs in one oily basket. Speaking of how to use things and not feeling like there's something between you and your partner here. What was that? Did you guys hear that? Oh, I guess I better turn off my email alert. Did you guys hear an email alert?
I didn't.
No. Did you send me an email? Is this a trick?
No. I heard it. Good. Glad you didn't hear it. First of all, I need a C++ programmer again, if we have one on here. Anybody listen, write to me at BIPcoin, that's Bravo India Papa Coin, at gmail.com. This is not for BIPcoin, but it's for something we're going to pay you money for. We have someone that's going to pay you, if you're good. All right, so the other question I have real quick before we go into Steve and his cartels. If there's anybody on here who knows how to answer this question, Amazon can't even answer this question. I want to know if there's a way for people who use Amazon only through the Amazon app on their phone to buy things, if there's a way for them to use my affiliate link, the Fiends affiliate link. If anyone knows how to answer that, write me at BIPcoin, Bravo India Papa Coin, at gmail.com. All right, Steve, so you want to talk about the cartels that ran the schools in the tri-state area?
Yes, there were. The entire teaching experience was just watching various cartels take power and argue over who has power. And the two main cartels were the teachers union, which was pretty much on my side for everything, because I was, especially toward the end of my teaching career, an extremely ineffectual teacher because I just straight up quit trying. I would physically show up.
That's the opposite. I thought this was the movie where the young, idealistic, nerdy white guy goes to the ghetto and helps the kids learn that rapping is just another form of poetry.
That is not what happened in the slightest. A young white kid who looked like he was about 13 at the time, maybe weighed 155, sopping wet, goes into the ghetto.
Like
6 feet.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goes in.
That's skinny, but that's not like counting buttons, junky skinny.
No, but it's pretty skinny.
If you're 6 foot and 120, that'd be kind of scary.
That would be very scary.
Like your neighbors. Yeah.
No, my neighbors are nothing compared to the kids. That's the thing, is after my teaching experience, nothing was scary anymore. Like, I would walk through, like, the worst neighborhoods, and what was it? Like, I didn't care because I had already had the future felons of America for 6 to 8 hours a day. Just running absolute havoc, throwing scissors, like, out the window onto the street. Cops ran into my room and hauled a kid out one day because he had a warrant out. Only 15 years old, 15 and in the seventh grade. Not a normal condition to be in, but I had a lot of these. I had a kid who was maybe 2 months away from driving and was in the seventh grade because we didn't have social promotion, so they would just pass. And if you're a new teacher, they give you the worst kids. And yeah, that was pretty much how it wound up. But the teachers union protected me all the time, because even though I wasn't teaching at all, I was just handing the kids worksheets and telling them to do them and sitting there and reading the paper or what have you, because I knew I could. They would always have my back, and the administrators all hated me. And the administrators also hated each other, though. And if you were smart, you could play that. You could play like one administrator off of each other. And a veteran teacher told me that. But the most important thing a veteran teacher told me was how to get the students to fight. So he pulled me aside and he was like, listen, here's what you need to do. On the first day, you need to figure out very quickly who your fightingest kid is and who your most annoying kid is. He's like, and you'll get an eye for it after a while, but they'll usually make themselves known. And you need to put those kids together in a corner farthest away from you. And around them, you put a ring of fat kids. Around them, you put a ring of instigators. So, like, loudmouth girls are good to put there, and then just kids with loud voices and kids that you think enjoy fighting. You put those like in the corner, and then behind them,
you're centrally planning fights, like chaos.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Then behind them, you put a row of fat kids. Having the fat kids there makes it harder for you to get to the fight. buys you a couple of seconds, like. Gives the fight longer to go on. And then behind the fat kids, you have the kids that actually want to learn because they'll be closest to you in the front of the room. So that's how you structure your room. A fight will happen on either day two or day three, and the fightingest kid and the most obnoxious kid who get in the fight will both get suspended. And they'll be out for like 5 to 7 to 10 days, and then you can restore order in the room. And then when they come back, they won't try as much.
This is insanity, man. This is central planning. This is, you know, socialized education. And, you know, a lot of the reason for that is because
it worked.
There's people.
I did it twice.
There's people that don't want to be there that in a free market wouldn't have to be there. They'd be out working, you know.
Yeah. And my kids wanted to make money. You give them any opportunity to make money. And that was one of the few times you'd ever see them motivated, because you could do whatever you want with money. It was one of the few realms where they had any degree of choice.
I saw that. It was in the TV show The Wire. You guys ever see that?
No.
There was a young idealistic white school teacher who was a cop and couldn't hack it as a cop, and they hired him in the school there with no experience as a teacher because he was a cop. So they thought that he could deal with the out of control, you know, ghetto crazy kids, gangster kids. And he basically taught them to care about math by teaching them how to gamble and do it successfully.
Oh,
and they were actually doing it, like, you know.
My real life situation is similar.
The odds,
because I couldn't make it as a teacher, so I became a libertarian who gets called a cop constantly. So, yeah, it works just like that. And especially when you tell people you won't buy them drugs, even when you live in a bad day, that's when you get called a cop. When people are like, "Hey, man, could you get me like coke or whatever?" You're like, "No," and then they're like, "Oh, you're probably a cop." Like, yes.
There was a teacher in Louisiana recently that was fired for telling an 11-year-old student to go kill herself. That's crazy stuff. As you know, this is because there's a system where people believe you have to have these buildings and these gangs, and I'm talking about the gangs of teachers, like the unions. You know, isn't the teachers union the biggest union in the country, Phil? You'd know this.
I don't think so. I think the Teamsters are.
Oh, but they're like one of the big ones, the second or third.
They are definitely one of
They're one of the most influential. And yeah, I think they might give the most. Well, the AFL-CIO, I think, might give more. But they give a lot of money.
They go beat people up probably for the teachers union. I don't know.
I've seen it happen. Yeah, I've seen fights break out at the teachers union meetings. Yep.
But I have a minarchist hat solution for this. Like, there was this... this contest, and the contest was like, write in, you know, anybody, whether a student or adult or teacher or friend or what, write. And I think the prize was a trip to Washington D.C. and it was write a short essay, like, you know, two paragraphs, you know, what a good student is probably capable of in public schools. Write a very short essay about how to make public schools more green. They don't even say public schools. They just say schools, because to them, that's the only schools. And how to make them more green, more, you know, carbon credit friendly and environmental. And I said, bulldoze the schools and then have all the kids stay home and learn on the computer. Bulldoze the schools. Oh, bulldoze the schools, plant trees, and have everybody go home. But here's a, like, And I did not win the trip to Washington, D.C., but I did enter that a few years ago. But here's like a minarchist hat solution. So fire all the teachers, sell the schools, and the kids learn at home with online courses. There are courses, there's something called Khan Academy. I think it's K-A-H-N or K-H-A-N Academy that has like better than public school, like K through 12 and like first 4 years of college in about, you know, everything you can think of. I'm learning programming right now with a free online thing where there's timed courses. It's called Code Academy. You can do all this online now. Like basically have the kids stay at home and, you know, buy them computers if you have to. I know this is, people are going, like even Republicans are going, that's crazy. That's my tax money. It's a lot less of your tax money if you did that than if you pay these teachers and give them, you know, these endless supply of money throughout their whole life up till their death, you know, after 40 years or 30 years of working or whatever. It's a lot cheaper. Just
and a lot of parents, a lot of parents will say, oh, but that'll make the kids socially weird because they won't be in a room with 30 other kids. Well, you know what? They might be in a room with 30 other future felons. And one of them might be fixing to attack somebody in a stairwell. I'm not saying if your kid goes to a public school, they're going to get raped. But I'm saying that the chances are higher if you send them. It depends where you live, obviously.
It's the solution to bullying, too, to not make kids be all in the same place. It's also not the best way to educate kids, to have all the kids of the same age in the same room. It's better to have, you know, like my dad.
If they were separated by ability level.
Yeah. One room schoolhouse, and he graduated at 15, you know, in the 30s, because, or in the 40s, I think. I don't know, he's 95, whatever. He graduated when he was 15 because everybody was being taught in the same room, and he just, you know, jumped to the next, like, cluster of kids that were learning the other lessons. And that's really how it should work. Right, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would actually point out, nothing made me more socially weird than public school. That is actually what gave me social problems.
Yeah. So I think we're going to talk some more in the second hour at length with Phil about this, but I'll pose this, Steve, when we get back. It's basically like, without, you know, if kids were homeschooled or self-schooled, how would they get their, you know, positive social interactions? Yeah, to learn how to deal with humans.
Without schools, who would build the gang memberships?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Oh, well, there was an unmanned U.S. Air
Force
space plane.
Yeah, that's scary. A little mini, looks like a mini space shuttle.
Yeah.
It's weird that it's secret, but not. Yeah. That's a weird strategy, and it seems very intentional for the government to say, we sent this thing up, here's footage of it landing, here's the specs of it, we're not telling you what it's for. It's not a, but it's not a weapon. It's absolutely not a weapon. Right now.
Right. Yeah.
Some sort of weaponized, little
mini PSYOP or something.
It probably just went up and drove around and came back. Like, you know, they could see it. Probably didn't go into space. The PSYOP is them talking about it.
Yeah.
It's just making North Korea think we have it. I'm not saying that the Earth is flat. It's not. I'm not saying man didn't walk on the moon. I think man did walk on the moon.
Well, they had to fake the moon landing.
Hey, I highly recommend the show, The Right Stuff. Great movie. If you've never seen it, I saw it for the first time this week. Forget the statism part. Don't get weepy for America and the state. Get weepy for the fortitude of the human spirit. That's really what it's about. So watch it. It's based on true stories. So, Steve, tell us more. Show us where the doll, on the doll, where the state touched you when you were a teacher.
Yeah, and people call it to me all the time and say, don't you miss it? Don't you? And the other thing is people are like, man, there was one teacher who really changed my life. And they never talked to you about the 40 teachers they had that were just waiting out the years until they could get that pension.
Yeah.
But no one's ever like, oh man, yeah, I know why you quit teaching. I had a science teacher named Mr. Steinbeck, and oh man, did he not give a single pile of duty. He just didn't care at all. No, nobody ever mentions that, but it's always, man, one person was nice to me.
I had two teachers that changed me a lot. One was a music teacher who was really hot when I was about 15, and I had a big crush on her, Mrs. Sanderson. And it kind of encouraged me to keep playing music. Actually, I had another hot music. No, that was an art teacher. And then another teacher before that, music teacher who was hot, and I was attracted to her, so I became good at music. And but then I had an art teacher like that when I was 15, and she got fired from the school, and her husband left the school because she had an affair with one of my 15-year-old friends. So that's what happens. That happens in private school, I guess, too, as well as public school, and this was private school. But I had one teacher that really influenced me a lot in English, and I ended up making, you know, part of my living writing over the past 20 years. His name's Ray Greenblatt from the Church Farm School in Paoli, Pennsylvania, up the street from Steve.
Ooh.
And I contacted him a few years ago and said, hey, you know, here's some links to books of mine on Amazon. I make money writing books now. And he's like, you're my only student that's ever done that. It's great to hear that. And then I started talking to him about politics, and he just, like, blocked me and stopped returning my emails.
Oh, bless him.
Inveterate liberal. You know, like most teachers.
Oh, bless his grind. That is such a mainline suburbs thing to do. Yep. Yeah. Yep. That is, yeah. You don't even engage the argument. You just hit that block. Oh, yeah. He really hit him right in the head. And that's also a very teachers union thing to do as well.
In a teachers union. This is a private school. There's no union.
Yeah, but, it's a private school, but it's the teachers in that particular teachers union.
Might as well be, in, you know,
did the same thing. And I was very pro union because I was a big old liberal at the time. But
really? I'm sorry. Yeah. When was this?
2004.
Okay. In 1.5 minutes, how did you become not a liberal, Steve?
Oh, I taught in the Philadelphia public schools and then I lived in Kensington.
That's the ghetto.
An anarchist is a liberal who lived in Kensington for 6 weeks. Seriously,
an anarchist is a liberal who lives in the neighborhoods liberals talk about helping all the time.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty much. That's some truth right there. That didn't even take 90 seconds.
What do you think, Steve?
Give
us some final words of wisdom.
A cloud does not put out the sun. And mad love to Jeremy Hagler, help the man. And Ben Stone is going to be on the Wahlberg, so check iTunes for that.
Ooh, when? Are you on with him?
I'm not, but I think Jim Jesus is. It drops, I think, tonight.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah. I haven't heard from Jim Jesus in a while. He hasn't talked to me since he left the Fiends. I mean, not like he's ignoring me. I tagged him today, though. You know, I thought, hey. I'm buffering. I tagged him with love on the interwebs, on Face Beef. Worms. Yeah. All right. We'll be back for the second hour. After this trip to the market, you can stick around, Steve, or you can leave.
I got to go to bed.
All right.
All right. Worms. Good night, y'all. Yep.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you for your grind. Thank you. Bless your grind.
Bless your grind.
Thank you.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Barf? Is that a barf or a bark?
Burf. Spelled B-U-R-F. Burf.
Is that a French bark? You got an intro there and you failed?
Yes, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except for governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. I'm writing notes here to our editor for our digest, Riley Blake, and you should contribute to him. You should donate on the Donate and About page on digest.freedomfiends.com. If you're listening to this live on Sunday night, Monday morning, May 8th, 2017, then don't go there yet because, well, there's nothing there yet. You can bookmark it, but tomorrow afternoon or morning or something, I don't know when he does it, but, you know, before the next show, there's going to be a 20-minute digest up, and if you listen to that on 1.5 speed, it's going to be 13 minutes, and if you can't devote 13 minutes of your day to the Freedom Fiends, why, you're just not a small F fiend, I would say.
Certainly not a big F fiend.
Yeah, well, we're the Big F Fiends. Big F Fiends are the current hosts, and then a few other people, honorary fiends. I made Jeremy Hengler's girlfriend an honorary fiend the other day because she's been doing so much to help him, which is great, and, you know, organizing everything to help him after his fiasco of tough love from the tri-state area's first responders.
Tough love indeed.
Yeah. Let's see. Ben Stone is not on the show at night ever now, but he's an honorary fiend. Even the 2 years when he wasn't doing any episodes, but he's back to doing episodes. Yeah. That's, I don't know. There's some others. But.
Sweet.
Yeah. I was writing a note to Riley Blake. Yes. Yes.
Worms.
Can't wait to hear it, Riley. So did you want for your service? What? Go ahead.
Worms. So, did you want to talk about the more school stuff? Or
yeah, I want to talk about school stuff because we talked in the first hour. And welcome, Belfouche, South Dakota, and welcome, Sundance. Good morning, Sundance, Wyoming, which is not where the Sundance Film Festival is. A lot of people think that. You know why that's not true, Phil?
No.
Do you know where the Sundance Film Festival is and why it's called that?
I do not, no.
Because it's in Utah. It's in Park City, Utah. And it's called the Sundance Film Festival because it was started by Robert Redford, who was in the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh, that
is... It's a really weird connection. But, yeah, that's why.
Yeah, that's... I hate to say it, but it's kind of lame.
It's kind of lame, yeah. Yeah. If you call it the Apocalypse Now Film Festival because it had Martin Sheen, you know, started it or something. The Apocalypse right. Film Festival. I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been a lot cooler if it was actually in...
Apocalypse Film in Sundance, Wyoming. Sundance, Wyoming is like a stoplight in a church and a liquor store, man. You can miss it if you... Nah, it's like 10,000 people, but...
Which is why it would be cooler.
Yeah, it would. And, yeah, it's... I mean, the Sundance Kid was named after Sundance, Wyoming, but he was a guy like 100 years ago that robbed banks, who was from or had lived in... Or had been arrested in, or had robbed in Sundance, Wyoming.
Okay, so it is named after Sundance, Wyoming. You got to take some Kevin Bacon steps to get there, right?
Yeah. And I think the Sundance Kid and Butch were members of the Hole in the Wall gang, or I might be confusing that with some other antique robberies commuters, but the Hole in the Wall gang were people that hid out in the Badlands, you know, in the middle of nowhere where there's nothing, where you have to, like, you know, shoot lizards and eat them, fry them up on a leaf. Well, there's no leaves, you know, it's a desert, but it's kind of funny too. There's a people associate gays with Wyoming because of that movie, you know, the gay cowboy movie. But I really think that was just Hollywood punishing Wyoming for having been the spot of the Shepherd. What's his name? Murders? Shepherd Fairey? No. Yeah. The gay kid that got basically fag bashed to death, I would say. Although there's Matthew Shepherd. But there is a lot of, like, local talk from people who knew him that basically say that was not about him being gay. It was like he'd ripped someone off in a drug deal. You know, they tortured him and dragged him to death. You never heard about this?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. But so, you know, actually, like, for like 25 years, there's been a bar in San Francisco called The Hole in the Wall. And it's named not only after that movie, but the fact that there are holes in the wall in the bathroom. And that's all I can say about it. But it's like, you know, it's one of the two rock and roll gay bars in the world, because most gay bars are disco and dance music, but these, you know, they play AC/DC and Led Zeppelin and you know, Mott the Hoople and Alice Cooper and Black Sabbath and things like that at this bar. So nice. It's a biker bar. It's a gay biker bar, The Hole in the Wall. So enough education. Let's talk about education. And why government is not good and shouldn't be in the business of anything, especially education. And everything government touches is horrible. So there's my thesis. Yeah. Support it, please,
With statistics? Well, I don't have a lot of statistics for that, but I do have the statistics of a basic chart that most people have probably seen, which compares the expenditure on public schooling from the 70s to about now and the actual learning outcomes. Of course, all of the learning outcomes stay approximately flat. Some of them actually go down a little bit, and spending goes through the roof over that time, double, triple, way more. It's like a linear curve, just straight upward.
Is it an upward hockey stick?
No, it's not a hockey stick. A hockey stick would be an exponential curve. This is actually not, unless it's done on a logarithmic scale, it might be. I didn't actually pay closer. As a statistician, I should know better, but I didn't pay attention to the y-axis to check the scale.
Nice. I don't know what you're talking about, but it makes us sound so smart, so much smarter than just saying, like, government's dumb, you know, which is what I usually say. But did you learn that stuff in school or on your own or both?
In school. So that's one thing. I'm actually an odd case. I do very well with structured learning, but this is something that I had to, and this is actually a story that really supports the anti-public schooling case, because I'm somebody that works very well in a structured learning environment. I'm, you know, academically minded. That's how I learn properly. I'm not good at just kind of piecing together my own, you know.
Do you need a teacher, though? I mean, like I said, there's things on the internet that are free, that are structured, that are very good learning environments. Like this thing I'm using, Code Academy. I did one thing on it so far. I just got started the other day. Like I said, it's pretty hard to, you know, learn programming at a fast rate when there are people in your home, like, drilling things and cutting things up with Dremels, and it's like as loud as a rifle, you know.
Right.
And
well, that's
the cats
one thing.
Are hiding in the basement. But no, this thing was timed. You know, it's like you have 1 hour to complete this thing, and in the middle of it, the workman had to ask me some extended question about what exactly we wanted with some particular thing. So I had to step away from it for like 10 minutes, and I came back. I had to start it over again. Actually, you can get the paid version of Code Academy, and I think you can pause it. But the free version, you just have to do it. And you can't, if you get interrupted, you have to start over. But it's very structured. Would that kind of stuff work for you?
Coding Academy does. I've actually tried Coding Academy, and it doesn't work for me. So I have to. There are a lot of times when I have to learn different programming languages to make myself more marketable, and I've done that through Code Academy, and it's way too slow for me. And that's one of the problems is I learn very quickly when I learn too.
Well, so, it's timed, but you can, I mean, you could do the anything less than an hour. If you did it in 5 minutes, it'd be okay.
Yeah, but I mean the steps, the way it steps through. So it steps through a certain amount of repetition.
You can't jump the steps that you,
right.
That's what you mean.
Yeah. And so I've actually taken to a site called Hacker Rank, which has some tutorial stuff in it, and it has some contests for programmers to, you know, some algorithm contest will be put up and programmers can compete for it. But the learning platform on it is very much do it yourself, and it's learning by doing. And you just write out the code. It doesn't even tell you how to do it unless you specifically request it. And that's probably the best way for me to learn programming and coding and stuff like that, because I can just learn it by doing it myself, doing real quick lookups online. And that's very effective for me. But as far as the structured learning in school, I'm not a good reader. I'm not good with reading comprehension and retention. Well, comprehension, I'm fine. Retention, I'm not good. And I have attention problems. So I'll often get to a point where I have to reread a paragraph multiple times to get it down. So things like that, things that require a lot of reading like that, I'm not quite as good as, you know, I absorb things a lot better through auditory stimulus and through visual stimulus and through doing, which is relatively common among males, actually.
So in school, like in high school, you were probably a lot smarter than a lot of the kids, you know, in the average class, which is everybody of a certain age in a geographic region, pretty much, who isn't off at a private school. So in public school, were you dragged down by the fact that that everyone has to learn at the same rate?
Yes, very much so. I actually was, and I had an even worse case, not just that, but I was dragged down even farther because I moved around a lot when I was a kid. And in sixth grade, I was in advanced math, so I took pre-algebra, which was the advanced math course for where I went. But we moved between sixth and seventh grade, and in seventh grade, of course, in my pre-algebra class, I aced it. I aced it easily in sixth grade. In seventh grade, we moved somewhere else that didn't have their advanced math for seventh grade was still pre-algebra. So I slacked off, I got B's, but some sort of clerical error kicked me out of advanced math, and I had to take pre-algebra again in eighth grade, and I got C's because I was just like, what is the point of even being?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And conversely, there were probably people in those same classes who were the slowest people in the class who were just buried by it, who couldn't keep up. And it's a really bad method of teaching to just take, you know, everyone from a geographic region of a certain age and make them sit in tiny rows and recite stuff. We'll be back.
Absolutely.
After this trip.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. Yep, I'm just sending Phil my latest white paper here to see if he could do this. Can't say what it is, but every time I say in the Fiends I'm working on a project, it ends up happening, and it ends up good. So, we're talking more about why teaching doesn't need to be done by the government, shouldn't be involved by the government. And government involvement in it makes it worse and more expensive. So, I guess, do you want to talk more about that, or do you want to talk a little about how how kids could become sociable and well-adjusted without government classes, which is one of the ostensible things that people say we need public schools for, because homeschooling can work, but you know, the kids end up twisted and unusual because they don't interact with other kids. So let's tackle that one. What do you think
I think actually our conversation before the break connects to that very nicely, because that's like what I said before about when I went to school. I came out of school very socially awkward, and the reason why is because I was trapped in this jail full of sociopaths, and I had no escape from it. So yeah. I was not socialized in school to any real meaningful extent. I had to have... in fact, I was so unsocialized, and also school had sapped away all of my... my ability to learn and my motivation, any sort of ambition that I had prior, all of that was gone once I went to college. And I only went to college because that's what you're supposed to do. And I blame my experience at public school, because I really was the kid that people always asked to help them with their math homework. You know, I was that kid. But when I went to college, I ended up dropping out after like a semester or two the first time, because I was not even remotely prepared for it, either socially or academically, as far as motivation. I mean, I could have done the work, no problem, but I ended up just holing up into my room playing Diablo 2 all day, every day.
And you know, going to public institutions of learning, you know, high school, grade school, and, you know, advanced education, doesn't necessarily make you a good person. I mean, you can be and it can make you more twisted and unusual. You know, take
every politician ever.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, you can have advanced degrees in advanced mathematics and end up sending letter bombs to people. You know, like that guy from Berkeley. What's his name?
The Luddite. They call him Kaczynski.
The Luddite bomber. Yeah, the Unabomber. Yeah. Kaczynski. Yeah. You know, he had, I think, multiple PhDs. I know he had at least a PhD, taught mathematics, was very, very intelligent, but, you know, and, you know, gone to public schools his whole life, but was crazy as a loon. Probably a little broken machine from the start, but, you know, if you study him at all, basically, like, the pressure of an Ivy League school and kind of, like, bullying from the rich kids when he had nothing and was there on a scholarship and working jobs and, like, you know, mopping up their messes and stuff, you know, people are highly competitive. Competition's great, but... I think the solution to bullying is get rid of public school, man, because it, and I think that, you know, they say, well, you know, a little like dealing with people that don't like you in public school teaches you how to do that in later life. I don't know. I think public school teaches you how to, like, snitch on people you don't like. Oh, I heard something amazing. There's this, you know what Cloudflare is, Phil? It's that, it's a hosting company, and they also do, like, you know, spam mitigation, DDoS mitigation, but... something like 10% of the traffic on the internet goes across them at some point. They have this thing that I really like where, first of all, they'll host anybody, like even Nazis, even though they say rightly that Nazis are horrible. It's a horrible ideology, but they're the one company that'll host, like, everything that other people won't host, because the guy says he's a big believer in free speech and that you have to be able to deal with bad speech to protect all speech, which is great. And they, if you send a complaint, like, I don't like that you're hosting this Nazi site, blah, 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 they pass that complaint onto the site you're complaining about. And they say their reason for it is that they believe in the constitutional thing that you should be able to face your accuser. I think that's brilliant, man. It's a good way to get rid of snitches, too, because everyone tries to do things quietly and secretly and behind people's back. And you learn that in public school.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing. I mean, if you are hiding your identity, a lot of times, and I don't agree with this statement, but a lot of times people will say, if you're hiding who you are, then you're up to no good. Well, how much
why do cops wear masks? That's why cops wear masks, because they're up to no good.
Absolutely.
They dress like Al Qaeda. Yeah,
ISIS. Yeah. But how much you want to bet a lot of the snitches are the people who say that?
Uh, snitching is taught in public school. Stop snitching, everyone. Especially on yourself. Don't tell anyone any things people don't need to know.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Making the world a better place with great liberty media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with great liberty media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective liberty media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only voluntarist media university. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
Maybe worms, yeah, we're on there. I know it, I know we are.
Burp, burp, burp. Oh, burp. I never explained my burp, did I?
Burp, go ahead. Burp, yeah, my burp. State.
Burp, burp. That's always the burp was the bark manifestation of my family when I was growing up. That's how my dad always imitated dogs. When we had a dog or when a dog was outside or something, he'd just burf, 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 or to annoy the cats. So I picked it up.
In French, they spell meow, M-A-I-O-U. It's pronounced pretty much the same, but yeah, instead of M-E-O-W.
Meow.
Yeah.
I think that to be...
I was waiting for a Frexit, but I don't think it's going to happen. I just like the word. All right, so we're going to get back to talking about kids and how we used to be them and how things could be better. I was like too smart for high school and kind of hyperactive, and it's before the diagnosis was hyperactive. It's before they had a diagnosis of, you know, ADD and ADHD and all that. And I'm actually finally, and I was, you know, this, I was born in 64, so I just missed getting drugged in school by a few years, which is good. I was too young to get drugged for being hyperactive, and I was too old to be a thalidomide baby by a couple of years. I was pretty good. I was right in the middle there. So no flippers, no early drug use.
Well, thalidomide babies didn't come to America, did they? I thought that was only in
Germany,
England. And yeah.
Yep. Yep. Actually, do you know thalidomide is still a prescribed drug?
I did not.
It's just not prescribed to pregnant women.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
that makes sense.
The more you know. So, what do you want to say about schools? I'll say one thing too. I have friends that are that homeschool their kids. You know, they're Christian conservatives, Wyoming people, and they homeschool their kids, and their kids do intramural stuff with kids from public school. Like they say, well, you know, you learn what you need to learn homeschooling if it's done right, but you don't get to play sports and you don't get to talk to other kids. Homeschool kids have a team in this town, and because there's so many of them, and they go play the public school teams. So that just destroys that argument very easily right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Although I could totally see, like, teachers unions saying, don't do that. I'll bet they do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean the whole argument against vouchers, and not that I'm for vouchers, because it is, after all, government spending more money, but their whole argument against it is, oh, it might extract some money from the public schools, our sacred money suck that must be continuously funded with every penny you've got.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much all they can. All of their arguments are geared towards trying to push more kids into their system so they get more money at every cost. So even having the option of students going to somewhere that is not within their domain of terror is completely unquestionable for them, or it's just not an option. So they come up with these ridiculous rationale, which, of course, progressives eat up like candy. Leftists, Democrats, whatever you want to say. I refuse to use the term liberal to describe leftists because
it used to mean something good. Classic liberal meant libertarian.
Right. Well, but they're even taking left-wingers are now taking over the term classical liberal as sort of a, well, 1980s, 90s liberal now. So they're even taking the classical liberal term. But
yeah, I don't know what I am. I just don't like government, and I like people earning what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But we were talking about socialization of kids, and I
think... I want to define the term, though. Socialization sounds like making someone socialist. It's not. Socializing just means...
Being taken over by the government.
A really good example is... No, it means learning to integrate into society. A really good example is I used to be a voluntary kitten socialer for baby cats for the San Francisco SPCA, which, you know, sounds socialist already, San Francisco. No, but, you know, I couldn't, I lived in a tiny little apartment. I worked at home. I wanted to have a cat. It just seemed like too much work to have a cat or something. No, you know what it was? I didn't know if I wanted cats, but I kind of like fetishized cats and meowed and stuff like I do now still. I've always done that. And somebody was like, basically like, are you just, you know, are you just appropriating cats, or do you really like them? And I'm like, I don't know. I'll find out. So I volunteered to do this thing for the SPCA. So basically, when they have baby kittens that don't have a mother, or even if they do have a mother, sometimes like they have to be touched and held and played with by people to want to be around people. If you don't do that in the first month, the cats generally end up feral, and it's really hard to get them adopted because like they'll bite people and stuff when they take them out of the cage. So you do that. You get like two or three kittens. You take them home for a month. You pet them and play with them. The SPCA pays for the food and the litter. And then you bring them back, and they give you new kittens. And I did this for like 50 or 60 kittens over about, you know, a couple years' time. And it was really fun, and it really taught me I do want to have cats. And since then, I've always had cats. And, you know, so basically I was a kitten socializer. I was socializing them so they could be integrated into, you know, society. And that's what they say public schools are important for, that you don't get from homeschooling, is socializing kids, teaching them to behave, you know, to get along with the rest of the world. So how can that happen without the state, Phil?
Well, you had an example. You had the I guess that doesn't necessarily say without the state, since they're playing intramural sports with state-sponsored
school. That might be unique here. I don't know, but Wyoming makes it very easy to homeschool. A lot of states don't. Like New York State, it's almost a felony. I'm exaggerating, but it's very hard. You know, well, California, it's very hard, but.
Homeschoolers and unschoolers understand this is an issue, that you have to socialize your children. At least for the most part, they do. So they get together. This is something that happens now without the force of the government. Homeschoolers and unschoolers get together into groups. They have play dates, and they plan activities for you know, joint group activities for their kids to play together.
Yeah.
Also, there's some evidence that. Well, okay, so I question the fact that children must be socialized with other children to begin with, because we're trying to train them for an adult world, right? So
yeah,
why would that necessarily?
Yeah, they should be around people of all ages, really. That's the best way to socialize somebody. It's really antithetical to socializing people to have them, you know, in a room with people only their age, and one adult.
It's not natural. Not socialize kids by putting them into the Lord of the Flies.
Which really in big cities, that's kind of, you know, it's funny because for people who don't know, Lord of the Flies is an old story that turned into an old movie and probably got remade at some point, but it's a classic story. You know, when we were kids, they made us read it in school, and it's actually a really good book. And, you know, basically plane crashes carrying a bunch of British school kids, age probably, you know, 7 to 15 or 7 to 17 probably. And the adults perish on the plane, and like, you know, 30 of the kids swim to shore and start their own society basically without adults. And it just ends up this like brutal society where might makes right. And, you know, the smart kids are bullied, and the weak kids and the kid with asthma is bullied. And
sounds sort of a familiar, lot of, done it.
Well, a lot of it's for the irony is a lot of people who go to public school and even teachers say that without government, that's what the world becomes. When in fact, with government, that's what the world becomes. That's what class is. You know, the minute the teacher leaves the room, that's what public school is. And even with the teacher in inner city and bigger city schools, you know, where the teacher's basically basic job is to keep kids from stabbing each other, and that's where it ends. If they can teach you anything after that, that's gravy.
Right. Yeah, you know, if you want to say that schools are required to socialize kids, well, you know what they're socializing kids into? They're socializing them into the this alpha-beta ideation. Yeah. They're really training them to be either good little beta students to obey orders and just learn enough to be able to work for somebody and maintain the system, or be this violent, aggressive leader type. And you have either the kids that are emulating this order giving attitude that they get from their teachers, where there's no real rationale. It's just, I have the power, so you must do what I say. Or the kids that cannot emulate it because they don't have the strength, or because their skills and talents lie elsewhere, are being essentially forced into this mentality of following along and submitting.
And it's a really archaic method of teaching people to make them go to the same place at the same time every day and sit in neat little rows and do what they're told and memorize facts and figures, not really learn how to do, not really, especially now, not learn how to do anything productive or creative or do much problem solving or learn any logic or learn to recognize fallacies. Like, they actually used to teach that in public school a bit. In my private school, they taught it. But like I said, that was the good teacher who was teaching it mainly. But, it's called the Prussian model, and it goes back to basically teaching people to be soldiers or factory workers. And factories don't really, they're generally in other countries now, and the people aren't very educated. Maybe they can read, maybe they can't. Maybe their boss can read, and he tells them what to do. That's really not the jobs of tomorrow. And the jobs tomorrow are generally ad hoc teams that come together to do what needs to be done and then dissolve. That's what a company is now, and they're short-lived often, and they should be, you know, project only, and then you go on other projects. And the people that work well with you in the projects, you pick to work in the next project. Hollywood's a really good example. Like, that's kind of, for 50 years, ever since they broke up the studio system, more than 50 years, Hollywood has kind of been paving the way for how jobs can work, you know, decentralized in the internet age. And sometimes they try to emulate that in school. Like, they'll break you up into circle tables, you know, five circle tables instead of a bunch of neat little rows. But, and, you know, sometimes they'll replace the blackboard with a smart touch board, but it's still the Prussian model. Nothing's changed, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the same exact thing.
I'll bet that ends up on the digest. It was good.
Worms.
Worms. Worms. Yeah, worms. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Worms to your mother.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPStrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends, and we are back, and we've been speaking about socializing kids outside of school and how really the public school system is not the optimal way to do it. But
yeah,
we want to get into a little bit more positive subject, and I was mentioning over the break that, well, you know, I live close to Seattle, and I like to go into Seattle all the time. It's a great town, despite what Ann Coulter might say. And there are a couple of ways that you can look at Seattle. You can either say, well, it's the city where the crazies have taken over the mental institution. That's one way to put it. Or you can also say it's the city where the weird kids took over and kicked out all the jocks. So one of the things that I don't like about Seattle is that, yeah, the weird kids have taken over, but they've just fallen back into the same alpha versus beta paradigm that the jocks would put them in high school, and just giving all of the normal people the noogies and making fun of them and shunning them or ostracizing them. But it's still proof that, or at least an example, that the weird kids can escape. You know, you can escape this paradigm that wants to put you into this just submissive position where you have to work under a domineering archetype,
yeah,
or someone that's an abusive boss or master, political master. Unfortunately, like I said, in Seattle, the weird kids have become the domineering archetype and the abusive master and political master. But I think overall, you can still, if you at least look at the glass half full, which I try to as much as often as I can, despite being an overall pessimistic person, you can still look at that as an option for escape. And I think that's some room for positivity,
yeah,
in the world.
Yeah, there's a big tech presence there too. And I was going to say that the tech industry, Silicon Valley, I think kind of emulated the Hollywood meritocracy. People complain about nepotism, but really nepotism in a way can be just meritocracy. You might give someone a chance more if they're your cousin's brother or something, but you know, people in places like that where they can hire whoever they want, the people who are good tend to be hired. Like in Hollywood, I've heard it said that, you know, professional film crews are like going to war, you know, and it's going to war against deadlines and budgets and, you know, and making something good or creative or funny that people want to pay to see. And people tend to use the same people over and over. Like there's a lot of, look up some of your favorite directors and try to find a chart of like, there are charts like this out there of like, you know, the same cameramen they've used. They use a lot of the same cameramen. They use a lot of the same actors sometimes. Woody Allen's really big on that, on both. They'll use the same sound then, you know.
Tim Burton and everything he's ever done with, you know, Johnny Depp and his wife.
Yeah. Yeah. So people might think that's not fair, but what is fair? You know, fair is what gets the job done, I think, not what includes everybody.
Well, here's another thing, that neglectful nepotism. So nepotism that actually turns out badly because you're hiring your lazy son or stepson or cousin or whatever.
Like in the government.
Yeah, right. That's not actually sustainable long term without government involvement in the first place. So, because eventually that will tank whatever company. And yeah, it kind of stinks for those people short term. But if they're really good people, then they'll land on their feet. And, you know, like you said earlier, we're in a contract economy now, or at least we're beginning to be in a very contract economy. And that's, they're going to be looking for other opportunities anyway.
That's the name of the show, How to Succeed in the Contract Economy.
Worms.
And it's all in here, in between the words. Find it. We really did put it in here.
That's right. Just read between the lines.
Well, I don't know. You know, when I say how to, it's not step one, step two, step three, but it works.
Yeah. It's there somewhere.
Like in my movie, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. Most people love it, but, you know, a few idiots are like, it didn't tell me the steps to do it. But it's really just interviews with a bunch of people who've done it, talking about their methodology, you know, about their kind of overall vibe. Worms.